Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Bukwa, good afternoon to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
How's been your day?
No, fine, sir. No problem. God is good. And you?
No, we've been good, man. God is good indeed. Thank you so much for joining us. And now we're coming to the end of our conversation on the authority of Scripture. And today's lesson is going to be about Bible study. So we want to check with you some of the ways that we should be interacting with the Bible. So what is the best way, in your view, to study the Bible?
Thank you, sir. From my own understanding and experiences, the best way, first and foremost, when we're going to study or ponder the scriptures, you need faith. That first thing, faith is very much important. You must believe in God and believe that you are now communicating direct with God, or this is the word of God.
Hang on, but before you continue,
very much that.
Before you continue, yes. You are saying that the first thing, and you're saying it's the key, is to have faith. But why? Because you just want to read what's written there. Why faith?
The reason is, this year, it's not about when you go to the scripture, it's not about knowledge or information. It's more than that. It's deep. It's about a relationship between you and God. Because this is the word of God, as I mentioned, that a love letter for you. God is revealing himself to me as a reader, revealing his character, his love to me. And I'm expected to respond, and my response is expected to be positive. Hence, when you go to Bible, it's not about information, it's not about your knowledge. It's about faith, because without faith, you will never understand. Because it's unlike other books where you go to it with one information and knowledge. Mm. It's more than that. It's deeper. It's about the relationship. Because the challenge here is the reason that in many cases you find a very weak Christian, because they want to depend on the vessels that are flawed, that is, the preachers. You see, now you are now direct now with God, listening to God. We are so accustomed to trust the vessels. And here now you are directly, God is directly communicating with you as an individual. So it's very much important. Then from that point now, you need to pray. Prayer is also key now. Mm. You need to pray so that your attitude, your mind, you'll be in what you are doing, so that prayer will guide you and illuminate your understanding so that you can understand. Remember, God is spiritual. So when we come to him, we must be in the spirit for us to have that connection with him. So that's very much important. That's the best way to me to study the Bible. And the next one, now, after that, now you must read the context of the passage that you are reading. The context of each passage is very much important. Hence, you must not impose your own ideas to the scripture. Let the scripture talk to you. The context is very much important. As a result, because of missing the context, now we are, we're confusing people because we don't understand, because we impose our own ideas. You must let God speak to you, and you must be sober-minded, as you study the Bible. That's the best way. Another one, you must analyze and apply. Write down the passages. As you go through, identify the key things and apply the teaching to your personal life. Very much important. You analyze and apply to your own personal life, because God is talking to me personally. When I study the Bible. And also you must reflect and meditate. Take time to reflect on what we have read and meditate on its significance. This is very much important. And last but not least, you must be consistent. This must be a regular habit with you. Even if you just take a few minutes each day, but you must be consistent, you know, in your Bible study. Must be regular. Even if you just take a few minutes, you start small, and as you have that relationship with God, you grow into Him, knowing Him, and then you find that, man, I'm enjoying this because God is talking to you as an individual. In other words, be intentional. Also, you must use different translations. You see, you're trying to compare, you want to understand what is God saying to me today. Remember, here it's not about information, it's about a relationship between you and God. Because if you are intentional, you end up becoming now a friend of God. And God wants you to ponder the scripture, because it is a scripture that is going to build your character. Hence, I am saying, in most cases, you want to trust and rely on preachers. Preachers are just there to create interest in us to want to go to dig deeper in the Word of God.
Yeah.
To me, that's the best way to study the Bible.
Now, you know, can I understand, you know, as I read and study the Bible, can I understand it if I'm not a theologian or perhaps very highly educated?
Yeah, well, thank you, sir, for that question. First and foremost, the Bible is not for theologians only. It's not for the educated. It's for all humanity. You can understand. You can understand. What do I mean? No, as I said, I've said, you must be intentional. And as you read the Bible, you must read it in chunks, break it down into manageable sections, like a chapter or a verse a day. Don't rush. Take it slowly, slowly. And you must use study resources. Utilize tools like commentaries. What is the commentary saying about this text? Remember, you are not a theologian who is privileged, you see. So commentaries, now you want to understand, they are study Bibles, you know, they are online resources, you see. You must focus on the main message of the text that you are reading. What is God here trying to say? And then sometimes you will not understand. Fortunately, we have theologians around us. We have pastors. We have people who are experienced. We have mentors. We have elders within us. Man, I read this. I did not understand. Can you help me, sir? You see? Then, you know, that one who's experienced will try now and you know, make you to understand what it's all about. You also must ask questions. You see, as I've said, ask questions. Now you discover that, man, I don't understand. You go to the people that are always there, you know, who will help you. You must also, in some areas, there are Bible study groups. If it is possible, join those Bible study groups, you know. It's where now you are sitting down. The intention is to understand what is God saying. Your questions, you also will be answered there, you know, because you will fellowship, because your intention is to understand the Word. So with other people, they will help you to understand, you see, because you remember, you're not a theologian. Now, the only difference between a theologian and an ordinary member of the church is the theologian at a theological seminar is studying the original language. Now, if the verse says, "For God so loved the world," you just read, you know, this translation, but a theologian will dig deeper into the original language. What does that text meaning? Of which now you are not privileged because you are not a theologian. So those study groups will help you now to understand, you see, the Bible, because you are not a theologian. They say those Bible study groups, and you must also pray for understanding. You see, your attitude is very much important when you're going to approach the Bible. It's unlike, as I have said, unlike other books. This is God, the book of books. God talking to me, having a message for me today. Then you ask God to give you wisdom and insight as you read. It's very much important. Also, you must be patient and persistent in order to understand the Bible, because this takes time and effort. So do not get discouraged. It does not come easily. There's a work to be done.
Mm.
So be patient. You see, as you get deeper into the scriptures, you will realize that, man, now I understand. As I say, it's not easy, because as I've said, it's about the relationship. Now, for instance, if I may read for you in John chapter 15, verse 5, the Bible says, I am the true vine and you are my branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you,
mm.
you will bear much fruit. Without being connected to me, you cannot produce a thing. That's a clear word, Bible, John 15, verse 5. So, for you to be able to remain in Jesus, it means you must marry the Bible. You must be connected to him. And as you remain in him, the Bible says, you will produce much fruit in your life. You see, people will always look to you because you will be transformed and you will witness the transformation in your life.
Mm.
So being connected to Jesus is the key for us to be able to produce, you see, much fruit. Without that, nothing will produce fruit. So that's very much important for us.
Yeah.
Remembering that we are not theologians. Let them help us where we, you know, because we did not go to theology seminars to study the original language. So let's go to them for help. Let's go, you know, resources, commentaries, study Bibles. Joining those groups will help us to grow inside.
Yes, yes.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Pastor, can anything be added or maybe adjusted or tweaked in the scripture to accommodate this new generation?
If I may read for you in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I'm commanding you, nor take away from you, but may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So the Bible is specific. That we are commanded not to add anything, not to subtract anything from the word of God. Do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar.
Mm.
That's what Proverbs said, verse 16. So we are not allowed to remember, this is the word of God that was inspired. Those who wrote it were inspired, moved, touched by God, prompted by him to write. So there's nothing to add. There's nothing to subtract. If you do that, then you become the enemy of God. So, no way. It's not allowed. Because now it will mean we want to correct God. You see, who are we? In fact, what are we to want to add to what God has said? As if God, you know, has made a mistake. God is beyond, you know, is beyond error. So we can't, the only thing that is expected of us is to live the word of God, to be connected to God for us to produce and to bear fruit. So that, remember, in fact, I think I should read this, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt, and severely mortally sick, who can know it? That's Amplified Bible. So our hearts, all of us, whether theologian or not, are corrupt. That is why Jesus is knocking at the door of our heart. And then once we accept him, allow him to come in, then he, Dr. Jesus, will come in and help to align our heart with his word. That's where now correction comes in, because we are corrupt. I hear sometimes people in South Africa talking about state culture, talking about the president who was corrupt, 9 wasted years. Friends, we are all corrupt. Our hearts are all corrupt. And we must acknowledge and accept that, and then come to Jesus, open our hearts for him to change our hearts so that we remain in him and remain in us. Besides that, we are nothing. So who are we now with our corrupt hearts wanting to add towards God, because we feel God was supposed to have put this, or want to subtract? God was not supposed to say this. Who are we? So it's not on. Not on, because these verses, they emphasize the importance of preserving the integrity and accuracy of Scripture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who are we now to say, no, God made a mistake there? But he knew it like that.
Lovely.
So well, we cannot add, we cannot subtract.
Yeah, we can't add and we cannot subtract. In a minute, what you know, are the lessons or pockets of beautiful lessons that you've you think that the listener out there should never forget?
First and foremost, that you must never forget that the word of God is eternal.
Well,
number two, the word of God is a guide for us in this journey, in this life. It will guide us if we accept it wholeheartedly. It will guide us to the kingdom of God. And without the word of God, we'll be lost in the journey, won't make it to our destination.
Yep.
That's very much important.
Mm.
Also, we must understand that God has not left us. He is still in charge. He's still in control.
Mm.
The world might be corrupt as we see what is happening, but God is still in charge and in control, and he's still pleading with each and everyone, because it's not God's intention that not one soul must be condemned. He's not here to condemn us. He wants to help us in this world to make better decisions, because the word of God will make us to make better decisions. Because the word of God is a word of integrity. It is perfect. Mm. It is sinless. Mm. It is truth. So we must understand this word comes from God and is beyond error. Because God is infallible good. Infallibility of God is very much important. Mm. So this is his word. This is his. He reveals himself to us, his character and his love. And once we accept this, we will be transformed and be ready to meet him when he shall come again.
Yeah. You know, it has been a fantastic one. It's been a great week. And I've been listening with a quite eager interest. And I must say that we can now, after this conversation, say, yes, you know, the authority, the Bible is authoritative and we can rely on it. We can trust on it. And of course, the process where God went through bringing a message to us, partnered with human beings to make sure that this comes to each and every home, notwithstanding that there may have been an error or two there from the interpreters or those who were writers. But God's message stands for eternity. Pastor, we want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Blessings.
It's a blessing to be
here. Sure. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.